Okay, how are we doing today?
All right. We have been on a couple of appointments. The food and beverage I have on the market. I met with an interested buyer this morning. Gave him the all the information. Profit loss. The value of all the equipment and everything. So, we'll see. And meeting with buyers today, we're putting in an offer on a property later today. And waiting them getting the approval from the bank. She's faxing it over to me. So, we'll see. It's on a foreclosure. And this agent is...
The bank owned?
It's bank owned, and there's already offers on the table on it, so we'll see. I mean, they're good buyers, but it's this agent is Joy Riley. She's tough. She's same as like that Tina I just dealt with. I did a closing with her before, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see where they come in at, and I don't know. So, anyways, they're good buyers, so we'll see what happens with it. It's the first house they went into. They knew what they wanted. They like this house. I'm not going to take them to a million houses. They like this one. They want to put an offer. So I said, fine, And I'm not going to
Bye.
Richard.
I tried logging in four times, Don, and I kept getting a message saying that I had the incorrect caller ID or ID, whatever it was. So I had to call the office, and I talked to Julie, and we got it straightened out. So I'm here.
Okay. All right. Good. So I got Richard and Linda. And
hello, Linda.
Hello.
Listen, with regards to where we are in the book, today is a pause, and so I'm going to give you guys an option here. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about kind of trying to lay out a groundwork for what the two of you would like to have. I know Richard was looking for. I could continue in the book, or I can shift you guys over to business planning for 2009, which I think would be really advantageous to you. I've got one of my other PAC groups that I'm doing that with starting next session, and that's what I'd be doing with you guys. I would send you out the forms here within the next week of things that we're going to start focusing on, because I start working with all my one-on-one clients between right now and after the 15th, 20th of October, so we get our planning all done by the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
So I will offer that to you guys if you would rather do that, and I come back to the book after that. But it would mean, going through how we go through the business planning and what are the challenges with the business planning, and actually having a plan set up so we're ready to rock and roll in 2009 by the end of November. You either want to have interest in that?
I would, I think. Yeah.
I would have a question, Don. Do you think that path versus the path that we normally would have gone on with the book would be a faster way to, or a high percentage way to actually start making some money? Or?
Well, I think that here's the thing, is that no matter if I'm working with a new one-on-one client, the PAC group is designed to be a coach-directed program where we continue to go through the book. And that's what we were doing. All of a sudden, it was just Linda and I, and so I kind of diverted from that to really get in focus on her business. the advantage to doing the business planning is, look, you got a game plan. You know where you're headed for 2009. You know what you have to do every month from December through November of 2009 in order to hit the target that you're aiming for. So part of what we'd be talking about today, if we were going to go into that, is, you know, how does this process work, and what are some of the things that I do to help you get to that place. The pluses that I see, again, this is not part of PAC 2 group. It's because we're down to two people, and I've got the ability to we've got the ability to be creative if necessary, or I can stay right on track. It really is. It's kind of a up to you two, which way you'd like me to go.
Well, I would imagine that the staying on track, since we're already about 6 months, I guess, approximately into the program since we restarted it, it would have to be having some actual money-making activities coming up pretty soon, I would imagine. But I mean, I don't mind going to the business planning for 08, Don, if that's more focused, and if that's normally, you know, for your one-on-one clients, then I would imagine that maybe it's, maybe a slightly higher quality of a type of a coaching.
Well, the next session is establishing your value through market knowledge, and I can integrate some of that into the business planning process. You guys have access to those sessions, and then the one after that is, hang on here, a champion listing presentation, which again is going to help you as you move into 2009. But it's, you know, again, working on your listing presentation isn't the money maker. It's actually applying the listing presentation that's the money maker.
Right.
And then the third one, because it would take me about that long, is again part of the listing presentation. Now we do have a series coming out around Thanksgiving. We're listing presentations that we'll be able to purchase and integrate your name on them. So you can, if you're struggling with the listing presentation, that particular unit would be something that our clients have been asking for a long time. A turnkey listing presentation where all you have to do is add your comps and, you know, any logos or something that you would like to put on it. But for the most part, it'll be almost turnkey. We should have that by November. So, again, I'm coming back to you guys and saying, you know, look, it's imperative that you have a plan for what you're going to do. And part of the challenges with your success, with your successes in this marketplace, is this is a numbers game. It truly is a numbers game. But the numbers have changed so dramatically since 2006, 2005, where, you know, you go on 10 listings and you get 9 of them. Today, you go on 10 listings and you might get 1 if you're tracking. So it means that I've got to go on more, which all relates back to what I've been pounding into everybody's head from the very beginning, and that is, I got a prospect and I got a track. I got a prospect and got a track. I got to know what I'm doing in order to know why I am where I am. And that's where business planning is a real key to, laying the groundwork for 2009. So I'm going to encourage you to take advantage of that. I'll go ahead and do it. It's special. We'll use the hour for the next 3 sessions to get that pretty much done. Tammy, send you out both the sets of forms that I will be using. Don't worry about doing anything other than what I ask you to do today. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Okay. You got to look at this as a positive, Richard. Bottom line is, I know that both of you guys have been frustrated, and I apologize for any of my part on that, but you know, my commitment now is that, you know, I'm here this hour And if you two are the only ones that are going to be here, that's fine. You know, let's get something out of this. I'm open to questions. You know, you can email me questions before a session and say, look, I need you to talk about this. You know, I'm struggling here. These are advantages that we don't have when we got four people on the phone. I can't do that with four people on the phone. But I can do it with two. So if you guys will take advantage, take some responsibility for your own success in this, and ask the hard questions. You know, a blanket question, how do I make more money? Do the things that I'm telling you to do and be consistent, and you will see that. But we may have to do more of what I'm telling you to do. Okay? You look at some of the deals. I want to take a few minutes and talk about 2009 and what's coming down the pike. What are you guys seeing in your own market area? Let's start with Richard, and then I'll ask you, Linda. Just the last 2 weeks. Not the whole time.
Well, you know, I've only talked to maybe two new buyers the last couple weeks. Properties are still selling, but way slower, obviously. We didn't slow down much as far as time in the marketplace because the average time on a market in this area was about 60 days. Until like 2 years ago or something. And it's only about 67 days now. But the numbers have dropped. There's, I think, 30 or 40% less sales. And the sales price, the average sales price has also dropped somewhat. And I just, I didn't know what to do. I got every course in the world, Don, and I apologize if it's, you know, I wasn't focused. Maybe I'm not, I don't know what it was, but for 6 months in the coaching, I just couldn't do anything. I'm straying a little bit from your question, but I don't feel I really have my finger on the pulse too much as to what exactly is going on. But all I know is that there are some agents out there that are surviving and probably are thriving in this marketplace, right in this area. There's a lot of agents dropping out. I mean, the other two agents on our coaching dropped out. I talked to both of them, Mary and Joan, and some agents around here, I've spoken to them. You said one thing that really was right. You know, if we can survive this market, will be that much stronger when it comes around again. And, you know, there's less competition right now. I know that. But I just don't know what to do. Like I said, I got every course in the book, but I don't know what to do to get business on them. I'm just stuck for some reason. I don't know if it's within me or without me. It's probably within me, but I don't know what to do. I got all these courses, but I don't know what to implement. I don't know if I should run an ad or if I should join Red X or Realty Track and start marketing the FSBOs or Expires. I actually have a lot of Dirk's CD programs. You know, I have the listing presentation program that's more or less just plug in your numbers and a lot of his other programs, but that's where I'm stuck and that's where I see the market. I'm sorry if that was kind of a winded answer.
No, that's okay. I'm going to come back and address that here in just a minute for you. Linda.
What is the market like here?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Just for the last 2 weeks.
Okay. A lot of confusion, and so there wasn't a lot of activity. But this the last couple of days, the last week, I think people are, like now, a little less scared, I think, now that they're loosening up on, credit and everything else. But what people are looking for, they're looking for deals. So regular market listings are not really being looked at. So, $300,000, $400,000 houses are not being, they're just not looked at unless they're a $300,000 or $400,000 house that is a short sale or foreclosure that's assessed at $600,000. You know that someone's getting a deal, and so you know our competition on those houses. You know our normal market houses are listing. We have to wait for these to burn off, and so it's tough. And then it's tough to put a deal together on some of these foreclosures because sometimes your competition and sometimes, you know, the banks and not necessarily the buyers, you know, sometimes the value and what the banks want, you know, they're not going to pay for what their numbers still are too high. So I don't know. So, and then it just seems like I've had too many deals that didn't go together that, you know, I'm frustrated. So, you know, I don't feel like constantly looking for business because it's just more business that you feel like isn't going to sell. I don't know. But I'm still going. So I dusted myself off a little and I'm pushing on.
Yeah, I'm in it for the long, long haul, Don. I mean, I've been in it 25 years, and I ain't going anywhere, so I'm in it. I'm quitting.
Okay. Let me kind of address both of yours. You know, two things are key issues in this, or three things that I can think of right this second that are key issues in being successful as we move into 2009. One is focus. Okay, Richard mentioned that he has all these programs and is not sure where to spend his time and focusing on, you know, do I run an ad? And I would say no, you don't run an ad because financially, you know, ads are great when you've got money and you've got money to spend on advertising. You can always, you know, you have the ability to test different things, whether it's you know, Craig Proctor's ideas or whether it's, you know, something that we've put out there. But I think that spending money on marketing and advertising to generate business is, in fact, probably the wrong place to spend it today.
Okay.
I think that the other thing that is imperative, and you both alluded to this in one way or another, whether you knew it or not, and that is that attitude. Attitude is huge. I mean, it's so big that, I mean, almost every session I'm talking to this with somebody about attitude. And it isn't that you have bad attitudes. It's that your attitudes are impacted by all the negative stuff that's going on right now. You know, Linda said it best when she said, you know, I get this deal together and it falls apart, and then I kind of wonder why, you know, why I'm even going after more stuff if it's not going to sell. But see, that's a byproduct of failed transactions, other people in the industry who are having tough luck in the business, your own tough luck that you've had throughout the last 2 years. You know, it's the advertisers, it's the newspaper, it's Wall Street, it's, you know, it's the bailout or the not to bailout. Now that we are bailing out, what does that mean to us? I got to say, you know, and I may have shared some of this with Linda already, but I got to say that those who manage to make it through this next year are going to reap the benefits of staying strong through all that we're doing right now. But I do think that as we look at what's going on right now on a national level, let me give you some of the positives that I see, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the positives that I see. Did I share some of this with you, Linda?
Yeah, you did. But I'll hear them again.
Okay. Some of the positives that I see are, look, no, you know, one is, whether you like the bailout or you don't like the bailout, the bottom line is real estate is going to be one of the recipients or one of the benefactors of this bailout. what's going to happen? And again, I don't have, you know, I can't tell you exactly how it goes down, but I've been through this before with the savings and loan crisis. And Richard, if you've been around 25 years, you remember that probably also.
I remember the RTC, Don.
The RTC, the famous RTC, Resolution Trust Corp. Anyway, what happened back then, again, without getting into the detail, was, you know, they were doing exactly what happened with Fannie and Freddie, you know, making bad loans to wrong people, and there was a lot more fraud going on at that particular point. So all these savings and loans and the assets, you know, had to be sold off, and so the Resolution Trust Corporation was the entity that did all that. They were the go-to people for all the bad loans, houses, projects, developments. You've seen a lot of builders go out of business this last year. Well, they've still got assets that are being managed by banks that are going to have to be turned over to additional developers. And, you know, those guys are going to be the recipients of, you know, 40, 50 cents on the dollar per se. So you're going to see a lot of activity in the investment market. The investors are, you know, probably drooling right now as this begins to unfold. The deals that are out there right now, the foreclosures, and short sales and so on and so forth, those have kind of been up for grab for anybody, okay? But remember, before this bailout, banks really weren't that easy to get along with, and they weren't that reasonable on the pricing, okay? You know, when you consider the way that they will be, it'll be much different in the next three months to the next year in their pricing structure. But the average person isn't going to be the one that's going to get all those deals. Now, there'll be some average people who will get in on those, but once this thing breaks loose into whatever entity that is that's going to take all these packaged bad assets and flood the market with them, you know, your investors, your people who have the ability to make things happen in bigger ways are going to be going to have the best opportunity to purchase some of those things. Your average individual won't be quite as easy to do those deals. But with activity in the marketplace and real estate shifting back and forth, and in other words, people are buying and selling again, even if it is in the investment community. Bottom line is that activity will translate into enthusiasm for the real estate market. Second thing, the bailout is designed to get the credit market moving again. The credit market really had been almost ground to a halt in real estate for the last year. Now with that, I mean, when you look at some of the challenges that we faced in the credit market, it wasn't the interest rates that was the challenge. It was, you know, FICO scores had to be in the 700-plus range, you know, versus before when we could get them at 600, 640, 630, somewhere in there. The rules became so stringent, and the actual challenges with loaning money were we don't have any money to loan. It has to be very high, it has to be very low risk if we're going to do it because they're so close to going under as it is. As some of these banks get bailed out and or purchased by the Fed, they've got to turn around and start doing what they do to again return some of that money that's out there. So they've got to start loaning money again. So the loan packages, and I would almost guarantee you that these big corporations that are still in business, these big lenders are coming up with creative packages to flood the market, especially for new home buyers, first-time home buyers, second-time home buyers. You're going to see some more packages that are going to hit the market, which again means, okay, look, you know, some of the buyers Some of the buyers are going to step out from behind the curtain. Some won't, okay? Some are going, you know, the ones that are paranoid, stay away from them because they won't pull the trigger. If they're paranoid, they're afraid that the sky is falling or, you know, we're coming to the end, they're not going to step up. So you want to really make sure that you're working with someone who's willing to pull the trigger. Your pricing, the pricing on product out there right now, we know for a fact that we're grinding to the bottom in many, many areas. Some are already experiencing increased prices in properties right now. There are a number of states, a number of cities and states across the country who are experiencing some growth. Okay? That's positive. You know, the ones that aren't are the ones that were so far out there to begin with, and the correction was much more substantial. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Southern California,
yeah.
Florida, you know, some of the big ones. But if you didn't experience these huge amounts of increases over the last, you know, 2003 through 2005.5, you know, you're much closer to the correction that's necessary. As this takes place over the next, like I said, the next 3 months, you know, the challenge that we have in the next 3 months or the next 2.5 months, 3 months, are holidays are right behind us. You know, they're 40 days away. You know, and that brings an additional slowdown. People actively in the marketplace, or the numbers drop. So the one thing that you have to do, again, is we've got to come back and we've got to just be so diligent. I mean, we have to be so diligent, whether it's knocking on doors, calling past clients, calling my sphere of influence, you know, understanding what's going on in the marketplace, knowing the market trends, what's happening in your market, looking at them last month, the month before. Are we coming out of it? Inventory going up? Inventory going down? You know, how many months of inventory do we presently have at this point? How much did we have last year at this point? Knowing that stuff is critical. I think Richard said this a few minutes ago, and that was, you know, I don't really have a good finger on the pulse of what's going on in this marketplace. And what I'm saying is that's absolutely something that you have to have. You have to know what the market trends are. You have to know what the kind of activity is going on in your local marketplace, and you have to know what kinds of things are coming up in the near future. Some of the things that I was throwing at you for the last 20 minutes. You know, I don't have a crystal ball, guys. I have experience, and I have I know that real estate is cyclical. You know, I've been through this to some degree. You know, it's never the same exactly. So, but the things that I'm sharing with you absolutely make sense. Now, don't buy into what other people are saying at this particular point. Just know that, you know, we're going to see some swings up, and we may see some swings down. You know, the negative side of this, we've got an election coming up in 30 days, 20 days. You know, somebody else is going to be in office. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to real estate. Generally what it means is that first 66 months or so is kind of a honeymoon period for whoever it is. You're going to see a tremendous amount of drastic shifts and changes, but we've got the whole United States focused on the housing industry. That's a lot of people staring at the housing industry and saying, okay, how do we get this thing turned around? Those are good questions. You know, when we're asking those kinds of questions, we will get some answers. We know so much that our economy depends on getting the real estate industry moving. The additional upside is for those individuals who stay in this business, and whether the next 18 months of this business, there is a reward. And that reward is, as this turns around, there, you know, it's kind of like you move up in the pecking order where you are. You know, you weathered the challenges of the last 3 years in the marketplace, and now you guys have moved up in as far as staff in the marketplace. You're going to be the first one. You got the first opportunities to take advantage of the good things that are going to start happening in real estate, and taking advantage of the things that you're learning right now. And that is, I cannot say enough over and over and over again, is I've got to have a plan for prospecting, and I've got to utilize the plan. I cannot sit back and hope that my business turns around because of something I heard. It has to do with implementation. You gotta do it. Your whole goal is to get in front of people, face to face with people, and not be attached to the outcome. You know, it's like the deals that fall apart. Okay, some will, some won't. So what? Who's next? You know, the bottom line is that, you know, my attitude is, look, whatever it takes, I'm going to do. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do. I have to maintain a positive attitude. I have to go to the video training library. I have to, you know, that doesn't cost me anymore. I've got the ability to go there, and just watch a clip a day. I watch two clips a day. Watch a clip in the morning and watch a clip at night. You know, attitude is imperative. And I can hear the shift in attitude in both of your voices. You know, this is tough. Let me give you some comparisons, though. And that is, look, you guys work in a professional business. Whether or not you've got, you know, a college degree or don't have a college degree, the bottom line is you're in a business without any ceiling. The only ceilings that are created are by you, okay? Sure, the economy plays a part in that, but you're the one that creates the ceiling. So the bottom line is you're in this business that has the ability to do whatever you want it to do, okay? But you got to put you have to do the implementation. You have to put the activities consistently to work for you. You cannot be attached to the outcome. You can't come back with an answer that says, I don't know why I'm wasting my time. Nothing's going to happen anyway. Because whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to get. So when it comes right down to it, you want to say, okay, look, I've got this opportunity. I've got this opportunity, and that's exactly what it is. Okay, nobody's in charge of the outcome for me other than me at this particular point. If that means I have to go on 30 listing appointments to get 10, so be it. You know, if I have to go on 30 listing appointments to get 4, that's what the numbers are. Those numbers will change as the market changes. But for right now, it's got to be more of the same. I've got to be in front of those people, face to face, phone to phone, belly to belly, nose to nose, however you want to put it. I've got to make more contacts. Okay. The other thing,
yeah.
Inventory. Inventory and buyers are very similar in this, and that is, look, if your inventory, if you're following that sheet, the listing on hand sheet with the BMSP and the motivation level, those are the warning signs, but they're also moving targets. Motivation changes on a daily basis for some people. The BMSP, if you're in a declining market, the big money selling price, what you think it should sell for is a moving target if you're in a declining market. Okay? So if I put down a BMSP of 300,000 yesterday, you know, today it may only be 280,000. You know, depending on the market. I have to be sensitive to what's going on in the marketplace itself. Is there a decline? Where am I in relationship to that? You know, when it comes to your buyers and your sellers, I gotta stay focused on A-plus buyers and sellers only. You know, if somebody doesn't have the motivation to list their price at the proper price right now, then it's better to walk away from that particular individual. If you don't see, if the motivation is not there, nothing's going to change in the pricing, no matter what they tell you up front. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Questions?
No.
No questions?
Well, more of a comment. Not only do I agree with everything you said, Don, 100%, but I agree with everything you said, 1,000%. I couldn't agree more. My attitude, personally, I don't believe it's waning. And I'm just at the point now where, yes, I understand your about the last point you made, that we just have to, you know, get in front of more people, talk to more buyers, talk to more sellers. And that's if we want to generate the same amount of business, you know, before the market turned a little bit. But that's exactly the point where I'm at. And so I'll just say it again. I haven't found a way to get in front of more people at this point.
Well, even if that means, you know, if resources are low and expenses are high, you know, even if I have to get out there and knock on the door with a smile on my face and say, you know, look, you know, you know anybody who's looking to buy or sell, you know, I will again begin to transform my attitude. I would disagree with you, Richard, with regards to your attitude. Not that I see anything wrong with your attitude, but I have yet to see anybody that has not been impacted to some degree or another, you know, on a mental basis. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person, or it just means that there's so much negativity flowing through our industry I think I've used this illustration before. It's like walking into a room, everybody's coughing and hacking, spitting, snorting, sneezing, and you know, if you don't stay very long, I mean, you're going to get the cold or you're going to get the flu unless you do one of two things, and that's take some good meds or you don't stay very long. So when I look at that, it's like, okay, look, my good meds are, you know, positive. You know, it's the reading I do. It's the you know, the CDs and the tapes that I plug in on a daily basis. It's the VTL, the video training library that I'm plugging in. Say, okay, look, you know, just need one more. You know, just need to bump my attitude just a little bit more. You know, it is okay. Asking the better question. You know, how do I get in front of more people? You know, do I knock on doors? You know, if I'm knocking on doors, I'm doing something that nobody else is doing. You know, if I'm going from business to business, you know, if I'm working for sale by owners or expireds, I need to choose one avenue and get that down before I start bouncing to 30 different avenues. In other words, don't go out and try to perfect for sale by owners and expired at the same time. You know, work with one or work with the other, you know, if that's how you're trying to grow your base, okay? You know, if you've got geographic farm that you've worked before, or you may or may not be working right now, you know, let's go back to that. Let's knock on doors. If we've got anything that our office supplies us with to pass out, you know, an opportunity for them to ask questions. Geographic farming, where I'm covering wildflower subdivision, and you know, I can pull data off the MLS. It says what just listed, what pended, what closed. You know, that makes a great piece that I can walk through and hand out to everybody in wildflower. You know, try to generate some conversations. You cannot quit. You cannot give up, and you cannot spend a lot of time trying to analyze this whole situation. Paralysis of analysis is one of the biggest challenges that we face in any industry where we try to grow. It's when we just sit around and ponder why we're not doing well, rather than going out there and creating the activity necessary. And so it's imperative. Again, I hold no judgment. I struggle with my own attitude just from time to time. You know, I took myself off television for a week this week because I was getting so ticked off at the political. I spent all my free time watching news channels, and it was driving me crazy, and it was impacting.
I never watch them. Never.
That's a wise thing.
You're
a wise young lady.
I stopped reading the local journal, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, did. So I'm like, I don't know a lot of things that are going on because the, you know, it's like I left myself out, you know, and so.
I think that's, you know, when it comes to what's going on in the marketplace, without delving into all the negative that's going on, look for what is happening out there. Know that, you know, be that resource to the people that you contact. You know, get your finger on the pulse of what's going on as best you can. Remember, that's part of what the next session was all about, was knowledge is one of the keys to...
Well, I mean, I know what's going on as far as...
No, I know you do.
The banking, you know, and all that, but I mean, like, you know, when it started
getting... Standard, regular news.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, when it started getting, like, ridiculous, and then everyone calling me, oh, did you hear this? And I'm like, enough's enough, you know. You might as well just, you know, and it's like, I heard it, you know, it was just, like, getting too much, so I just, you know, I just quit.
Right.
Totally.
Right. Okay, let me take the last few minutes and just talk about this business planning a little bit, because what I need you guys to do is I really need you to think about and jot some notes here, if you will. I need you to think about where you've been this last year. I need you to think of three numbers. As far as production, business planning, I need you to think, what is the bare minimum that it's going to take in 2009 for me to be here at the end of 2009, to still be in business, okay? That's what we call minimum acceptable goal. You know, what is that number? What does it take to pay my bills and run my business? You know, not many luxuries, just bare minimum, okay? That's one number I need you to be thinking about, okay? It's minimum acceptable. In other words, I have to hit this number or else. I'm going to go into something called triple track, and that's where this goal setting is. What is it going to take for me to use to deal with these three numbers? And the second one is average attainable, I believe. I may have that not exactly correct, but it's the middle goal. It's the one that if I was sitting here talking to you and say, okay, look, what do you want? Where do you want to see yourself in 2009 at the end? You know, and why do you want to be there? In other words, let's just say, I'm just going to use arbitrary numbers just for math's sake. You know, last year I made $75,000. This year I want to make $100,000. Okay, why? What's driving you to make $100,000? What would be different about your life if you made $100,000? In other words, what would your life look like if you made that extra $25,000? You know, if you send a kid or grandkid to a private school, or maybe, you know, it gives you and your spouse a you know, 2 weeks in sun country somewhere, you know, what else does it do? You know, maybe it gives you the ability to say, okay, look, I'm going to buy another rental house, or I'm going to buy my first rental house, or I'm going to, you know, or we're going to move up. Maybe I've got to buy, you know, I want to buy a car and I don't want a debt. You know, how much is that going to cost you? You know, so whatever it is that's driving you, and I'm not just saying pluck things out of the air that don't make sense. If there's something that's driving you, I mean, if your car's on its last leg and you know you got to buy another car, how much are you going to have to need? What are you going to need? How are you going to determine when it's okay to buy it? You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So what's the name for that middle one, Don?
I believe it's average attainable. Hang on, just a sec. No, I don't have it. I don't have it right here. Let's just call it average attainable. You'll get the form, so you'll see it. But what I want you to do is I want you to have these numbers for me next week.
Okay.
And the last one. Pardon me. The last one. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's a minimum, and then the second one is somewhere in between the first and the third one.
Yes, yeah, but the middle goal is really, you know, if we were just doing a regular goal setting, I would say, where do you want to see yourself in 2009? That's what that middle goal would be. Okay.
Okay.
Not pie in the sky. You know, I've had somebody say, well, I made $50,000 last year. I want to make $250,000 this year. Okay. Well, I'm not saying you can't do it, but why do you want to do it? Okay, what's driving you? What's the why behind having to make that kind of money? So you want it to be reasonable, you know, you want it to be, you know, acceptable with your belief system. You don't want to be so far out there that you know, you're going to be off track from the very beginning and you're never going to be there. Has to have some association with reality. And the final one is maximum attainable, and that is, look, based on the way I worked this year, if everything did turn around, if some of the things that I was talking about earlier came to fruition, I picked up a great investor who was going to buy 10 properties next year, you know, or I picked up a subdivision that was turned over by one of these, by one of these banks or whoever's going to be the business end of getting rid of these assets. You know, what would that number be, and what would that do for me on a financial basis? You know, maybe that's, you know, $65,000 more than your minimum acceptable. But, you know, here's what it does. You know, it puts Billy through school. It picks up that new car. You know, it funds my SEP or my 401. It, you know, it gives us the ability to, you know, take another step up in the home we live in or whatever. You know, but, you know, again, it's a number that, you know, when we're tracking, when we go back and finish the rest of this business planning, we're gonna look at, and we won't have an 100% accurate picture because we haven't been tracking consistently in everything that we're doing. Okay, Linda's been somewhat consistent in tracking. Would you agree?
I've been pretty good, I think.
Yeah. Well, even our administrative people think you're pretty good.
I know.
I'm
very good. I think I deserve some of that. I didn't do my weekly this week, but I figured it was a holiday week and I'd take it off. But I did my dailies. I'm doing them today and did them yesterday, half a day. I don't need to work half a day.
The advantage to that is you're going to see some indication. There is some correlation between what I've done in the past and what that turned into. Whether it's you know making 10 contacts a day and you know reaping three leads or seven leads at the end of the week. You know how many contacts do I need to get a lead? You know, how many leads do I need to get an appointment? How many appointments do I need to get a listing? How many listings do I need to get in order to get a sale? And so those numbers correlate to this business planning process. And even if we don't know, it's better to have a target. I've got a shot at hitting a target if I can see it. If I know what it is, if I know where it is, if I know how much it is, I got a shot. But I guarantee you, without doing this, You don't have a shot. You don't have a shot to hit what you want because you don't even know what you want. You haven't quantified it, haven't put it in place, haven't defined it, you know. So when it comes right down to it, it's imperative that, you know, this is part of your success for 2009. Any questions about what I've asked you to do?
No.
Okay. All right. Here on out, these next three sessions, and we'll work on that. And from that point forward, I need you guys to play full out, 100%. Okay. I'm asking you to play full out because we want to turn this thing around. I want you to be successful. I want to see us win, okay? At the end of this year, we're not going to be where we wanted to be. Most people aren't.
I hope I'm better than I was, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're already better than you were, but I think that the bottom line is, look, 2009 needs to be no holes barred, pull all the stops and say, look, okay, I'm not going through 2008 all over again. I'm going to kick some butt. I'm going to take some names, and we're going to change the outcome.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
If you need to go back and listen to this recording over again, do it. Okay? It was pretty positive. It was pretty inspirational, even from my standpoint. But, you hear it over and over again, and it gives you some hope. It gives you that ability to, you know, keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing the things that nobody else is doing out there. The daily disciplines have to be part of your activity. Okay?
Yep.
Any questions?
No.
All right.
Okay.
I'll look forward to talking to you. I'll get this stuff out to you in the next couple of days. And if you do have any questions for me, either one of you, please email them to me, and I will address them. Okay?
All right. Okay. Thank you, Don. Bye.
All right, Chris. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.